Welcome to the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Tom Birkinshaw, and today I'm joined by Elaine Tyler, CEO at Venatrix. Elaine has been at the forefront of the recruitment industry for over a decade, having established Venatrix in 2015 after seeing an opportunity in the market to focus on SDR recruitment into leading SaaS firms. After attending an event hosted by Recruitment Entrepreneur's chairman, James Kahn, Elaine had the opportunity to pitch her business idea. Following that meeting, Elaine launched her business with Recruitment Entrepreneur. In this episode, Elaine takes us through how the landscape of recruitment marketing and the SaaS market has evolved. Elaine, thank you very much for joining me on our podcast today. It's great to have you here.
Great. Excited to chat to you, Tom.
So Elaine, CEO of Venatrix, SaaS SDR specialists. Mm-hmm. You've been going for 7 years now?
Yes, exactly. So 7 years ago, I set up Venatrix, and now we've become London's leading provider of SDR candidates to fast growth SaaS companies.
Fantastic. So tell me about the beginning. Have you always loved and been in recruitment? Is that something you did prior to Venatrix?
So graduated from Leeds University in 2008, having studied business management there. I know it seems like a long time ago now. So I knew I wanted to do something business-based and customer-focused. I ended up going to a recruitment company, asking them to find me a role in sales, and they said, do you want to come and join us? So ultimately, I started working for that business when I was 22. I was placing salespeople, not necessarily in SaaS, worked my way through that organization, becoming a director of it age 29, before then leaving to establish Venatrix. Venatrix is fully focused in the SaaS market, yeah. Which has been a great one for us to recruit for, and really kind of honed a niche in terms of what we do.
So you said you've been doing it 7 years, obviously, before Venatrix. Mm-hmm. 2008, obviously, you went into a sales role in a really difficult mm-hmm. financial climate. Obviously, mm-hmm. everyone's aware of, obviously, the crash at the time. Mm-hmm. So what was that like as a first job experience?
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely crazy at the time. Something that I am very, very grateful to have experienced, though, because stepping into a challenging market, as per anybody who's listening to this, who's maybe starting their recruitment career now, it teaches you to be really tough, and it teaches you to be resilient. And because the wins don't come easy, you have to work harder to get them. And ultimately, I do think that one of the contributing factors to me being successful in recruitment and Venatrix becoming the success that it is now is to do with that really challenging grounding that I had in the early stages of my career.
And would you say that's something, it sounds like, you know, part of your culture and the ethics of the ethos, sorry, of your business mm-hmm. and something that you train out to your team to kind of, the wins don't come easy. Yes, there's better markets in better month. Recruitment can be cyclical throughout the year. Would you say that's an attributing factor to what you're doing in the office every day?
I think that one of the standards of Venatrix is that we aim to have very high standards and make sure that all the details are checked off around whatever activities that we're doing, whether it's speaking to a candidate about the type of role they're looking for, making sure a client understands the assessment process that we're going to run candidates through, and you know, no matter what, whether it's a buoyant market, don't cut corners, make sure that you do the job properly.
Yeah. So going back to you said, was it 7 years at the recruitment company that you're at prior to Venatrix? In any sales job, that's a long time. What mm-hmm. did you always want to set up your own recruitment company? Mm-hmm. Or was it something you were like at the end of that kind of 5-7 year cycle at a company and thought, do you know what, I just need to move, I want mm-hmm. a new experience? So what drove that change to set up on your own?
Yeah. So 7 years at one company is a really long time. And actually, because I've been placing salespeople now for 14 years, 7 years prior and 7 years at Venatrix, I'm still placing salespeople. And that's because my work here is not done.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So I set up Venatrix because I was coming up to my 30th birthday. I attended an event where I saw James Kahn speak. He was doing a promo in partnership with a law firm based in London to educate recruitment leaders around the legal implications of running a recruitment business. So it was a really interesting talk to go and attend. I ended up having a conversation with him afterwards because obviously I wanted to know a little bit more about him and his background and have just a general conversation with him. He said, you know, who are you? What do you do? Sounds really interesting. Why don't you go and have a conversation with my strategists? Mm. So I had the itchy feet feeling yeah. of like what is going to be next for me yeah. and the opportunity presented. I took the opportunity to then go and speak to the strategist, put together a business plan.
Yeah.
We evaluated it with the board from Recruitment Entrepreneur. And about 3 months later, I had secured the investment and I was opening Venatrix.
7 years later, here you are.
Exactly.
That's a great journey. So you've grown Venatrix, obviously, from yourself, and you've got a team of 10 heads now?
Yes, that's correct.
Looking across, obviously, and for people who know Venatrix, where did the name come from?
Well, it means the huntress
in Latin.
And my mum came up with it, actually.
Did she?
Yes.
Did she have the IP on that?
I think I have to give her some royalties.
Absolutely. Fantastic. That's really interesting. And obviously, again, going back to the ethos of your culture and your brand, is something that you obviously clearly drive through on a day-to-day basis. Talking about brand then, obviously, you set up on your own after meeting James. Was part of the business plan, you know, and you look at recruiters in general in today's market. There's 80-odd thousand in the UK or 70-odd thousand, and they're growing at 5 or 6,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Was part of your business plan 7 years ago to think, right, I need to make this, you know, obviously there's P&Ls, there's the finances, there's building a team, but how do you, what was your idea to stand out against everybody else?
Mm-hmm. I think that commitment to high standards. So when I say we're London's leading source, I remember on that first day of me sitting down and with the strategists from Recruitment Entrepreneur, and they said, you know, what do you want this company to mean? And I wrote down the number one provider. So that is something that has stayed with us along this journey, that we want to provide the very best candidates, the best level of service, that everybody has a fantastic candidate experience, that we hire the best people. Because ultimately, in a service-based business, it is about the way in which you stand out amongst the noise in your market is by being better than the competition.
And I think we've talked about before about your client retention. You work with the same clients, arguably, I guess, for 7 years in some cases. And I guess back to your point on that service level delivery is maintaining that. In terms of then having that internal ethos, which is obviously core to business development and growing your brand, how do you then translate that externally? And, and you know, and how important do you find that?
So I think that a really important part of our offering is that as we place salespeople, so where companies are coming to us to find their next generation of sales talent, naturally, we need to be great salespeople.
Yeah.
Otherwise, our clients are not going to trust us that we actually understand the attributes that it takes to be a successful salesperson.
Yes.
So all of the team understand the importance of being urgent, delivering results, the importance of listening to customers, really understanding their needs, you know, being resilient, being motivated. And I think that because we spend so much time talking about these qualities in our candidates, then there is, you know, the natural sense that we must be those qualities in order to demonstrate that we can actually practice what we preach.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, obviously with our time working together, seeing your brand increase online, I think it's been a big part of obviously what Venatrix has become and kind of enforcing that delivery standard that you guys produce on a day-to-day basis, but across multiple phone calls with clients and candidates.
Yeah.
How have you found that journey becoming basically a brand in your own right as well?
Yeah, so the evolution of the brand has been really interesting. I think first couple of years, we were just kind of like standard recruitment organization, producing job adverts, a little bit on the website, popping up to a few events here and there, not necessarily doing anything particularly evolutionary or exciting. And then within the team, we started to build some norms that where everybody wanted to become really notorious on LinkedIn through posting videos, content, thought leadership posts, things about the industry. And it really kind of caught on. And I think that lots of people commented it over time and they say to me, you know, how have you built that brand? I love what Venatrix are doing on LinkedIn. How did you do it, Elaine? And well, the answer is I didn't. And I think that the reason why it resonates so well is because it was actually real authentic content from the team.
And all got done organically as well, wasn't it?
So, you know, I've had multiple conversations with people where they've said, you know, who does your marketing? Well, it's actually the consultants. And yeah, that's landed really, really well. And people have tried to emulate it. And we get lots of compliments on it all the time. But it really drives us internally as well, because it keeps us talking about topics that are current. Because we are talking about what our candidates and what our clients are experiencing. And again, just leads back into us being able to deliver a better service.
I think it goes back to your point on thought leadership. I think, you know, when you're having those internal case studies, you've built that platform organically with limited resources, especially when you're a startup. Mm-hmm. Money isn't flying in and out, so you've got to be strategic with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I think when, in terms of business development, you know, being that thought leader now in 7 years in the market that you're in, I think is a phenomenal success. Mm-hmm. It's just maintaining that. So obviously the SaaS market at the minute, you know, like you said, going back to the financial crisis, you had to prove that, you know, the service that you were delivering was of the highest standard to get that business. I guess at the market at the minute, I think the terminology at Q4 end of last year in 2022 was generally there was a softening in the market, you know, and obviously that's an average out across all the sectors, even just not in the UK, Europe, but globally. I think the tech market probably got hit more than the rest. You know, hopefully and thankfully, I don't think it's the 2008 situation. But again, it makes your mm-hmm. jobs a lot harder to kind of retain the business or get business or provide the best clients. How have you then adapted when you saw that happening and into mm-hmm. the start of this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a very interesting time for companies to really consider what their hiring needs are. So SaaS companies, through most of 21 and, well, through all of 21 and 2022, many of them were adopting what they called a growth all cost model. So the idea was, let's hire as many people as we can. Those people are going to contribute eventually in the time frame that suits their seniority level and suits this company, and that's going to create future value. When that all came into question, those organizations had to very quickly change the way in which they were looking to grow their organizations and scale. So now they're maybe looking at trying to bring more productivity per head.
Yes.
So strategies have changed in terms of like who is that head, because that person needs to be able to hyperproduce when they're hired. So of course, companies are maybe being cautious. They're wondering how many people they should be bringing in to support their headcount, support their growth goals. But when they are making hiring decisions, they can't get it wrong.
Yeah.
So that's the message that we are sharing with our clients. And I think, you know, the clients that resonates with, they understand why, because now more than they've experienced in the past 18 months, every penny that they invest really, really counts.
That return on investment needs to be proven now.
Yeah, and just, you know, there's a new lens for them to consider their spending. Yeah. So they want to be prudent and they want to spend wisely.
And I think that's an interesting point, that growth at all costs. You know, when you look at the development and globally in terms of tech, be it AI, automation and things like that, then obviously these have a knock-on effects in what people are looking for in these types of businesses. I think point being, I guess, you know, not that if you didn't have great skills you'd still get a job, obviously you still had to have good skills, but I guess now from a candidate's point of view, mm-hmm. your skill and ability is now top of the list of what people are looking for. But mm-hmm. you know I think that the terminology you used, which I quite like, was that, you know, hyper produce. Mm-hmm. And I think that's obviously a lot more important today from a candidate's point of view, is when they're looking, you know, whether they've been made redundant or whether they're looking to change their roles, is actually 18 months ago it's a very different landscape. Mm-hmm. In the sectors that you're in.
Yeah, and candidates are nervous because obviously they're seeing the press, they're understanding that there's a certain amount of uncertainty, and their wish list in what they're looking for in a new employer has evolved. So this time last year, we were having lots of conversations about, you know, what's the benefits and perks, yeah. whereas now we're having lots of conversations with, like, what is that the actual security of this role? Who do they sell to? How liquid are those potential? How liquid is that potential client base? How do I know that I'm going to be able to make the OTE and forge a career path in this business, in this climate?
Yeah. So at the minute then, would you say the market's picking up? Would you say it's looking more optimistic than it was, I think, probably in Q3 when people were looking at Q4?
Indeed. I think towards the end of last year, everybody put a little bit of a pause and decided to kind of reset for the new year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, luckily for Venatrix, we've obviously got that 7 years worth of clients that we've been working with. So we still have plenty of placements to make. But there was definitely an invigorated market for us to return to this Jan.
Yeah.
And we've been running assessment centres to help our clients identify SDRs 3 times a week
yeah.
Since the beginning of the year. So I think that gives everybody a little bit of comfort and indication of what's going on in the SaaS market.
Yeah, absolutely. And would you say that candidates are now a bit more, I think, like you said, you know, a bit more reserved? Q4, I think everyone, you know, obviously every Q4 there's a bit of a pause. Oh, we'll do it in January. I think last year and this year obviously we saw a bigger pause. Mm-hmm. Would you say that there's a bit more candidate confidence mm-hmm. going forward now?
I think potentially, I think candidates are still a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
But that's where we spend a lot of time with our team educating our team and talking and our team educating those group discussions about, you know, how can we give candidates that confidence around the clients that we're working with? Because naturally they're going to feel that nervous.
Yes.
Changing a job at any time you know, potentially carries a risk.
Yeah.
So we are just working really hard with our client, with our candidates, to allow them to understand which companies are going to be a safer bet than others based upon factors in the market.
Yeah. Without giving too much away, you touched on your assessment centres, and I think, you know, talking about confidence, where did that come from? You know, and how long have you been doing that, and what does that involve?
So we've been doing them since we set up the business. Interestingly, prior to COVID, we used to do them in person. So on a weekly basis, we would host 30 to 40 potential budding SDRs in our office, where they would then take part in a number of group exercises live in front of hiring managers and be shortlisted for interviews. Since COVID, we've evolved and we took the business online. So we now run 3 smaller, more intimate, bespoke assessment centres on a weekly basis for our clients to attend. This then means that the candidates and the clients get an experience of meeting one another. Yeah. And we found that it works much more successfully in it being able to create those really strong bonds and matches between potential SDRs and hiring companies.
And I think when you go, just jumping quickly back to your branding, all these little added values from candidates, from clients, it reinforces the high level of service that you guys produce. And then allows, obviously, from a career development side in your team, your average is relatively high in terms of your staff retention, and I think, you know, the quality that you give out in terms of what you're providing must be a bit of pride for the team, that actually, you know, when you said, going back to when you started, it was, oh, we had a website, we posted some jobs, and, you know, I'm not saying every recruitment company is like that, but there are a lot out there that kind of do rely on that a lot. Whereas I think when you look at your team and what they do, you know, they obviously are recruiters, but there's a lot more to their job now. It's about training, it's about, you know, understanding the candidates, what they want, and putting them through assessment centres and re-establishing that high level of standard for clients. And have you found that just get stronger as the years have gone on?
The thing about Venatrix and is that it's all about potential. So what we do for the candidates that we work with is we strip back them being judged on their CV alone. So whether they've had some commercial experience, whether they haven't, whether they've had the opportunity to be an SDR, whether they haven't yet, the assessment centre is designed to negate all that and put them in an environment with a company who could be offering a really exciting opportunity and just show that company what they could do in a sales case study. And I think that for the candidates where they feel like they have been judged on their CV previously, when they then get that opportunity to land a role with a really exciting business that's going to help train, develop them and accelerate their career, they're obviously so grateful for that. So I think that really feeds back to the team, and that then drives our motivations to understand that we're delivering a meaningful service that provides real value to people. So of course, and then obviously in terms of the people that we have for our own team, so we're focused around hiring individuals who've got limited or no recruitment experience themselves, and we truly invest in their potential. So that's why I love Venatrix, because it's just so much about like giving people an opportunity, and I really like believe in that as a concept.
And I think, in, again, not just recruitment, but in any sales company, when you invest that time, training, L&D, which is hugely obviously important in recruitment, they, I think you mentioned it, you know, with the marketing, is they do it, you know, they do it themselves. It's their desk. It is their business. It's their granular business. They're doing it day to day. And although they're managed, they're not micromanaged, and having all those tools and assessments and candidate support makes it a lot more valuable for them to do their job, I guess, and probably, hopefully, a little bit easier, because they're going in armed with a lot more information for clients.
Yeah.
In terms, then, averagely speaking, you talked about the importance of not just being a CV, and obviously with the assessments that you do. What's the kind of ratio at the minute, you know, Q1 23, of candidates for roles, for SDR roles at the minute, would you say?
Well, there's 3,000 roles on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
There's definitely not 3,000 people looking for a job right now.
Yeah.
Well, that would qualify.
That would qualify. Good quality candidates. And I think that's, I guess, talking to other, you know, CEOs in the sector is yes, there is talent, but I think obviously with what we're talking about, SaaS sector and SDRs, where you do need to be skilled as well, that top talent is actually quite hard to find.
Yeah, that's in London alone.
Yes.
So And the reality is it's quite a specific skill set that you need to, in order to be an SDR. You need to be personable, you need to be intelligent, you need to be driven, resilient, but all in one person.
Yes.
And you need to be extra tough right now as well.
Thick skin.
Yeah.
So Venetrix has grown 7 years in the UK. Mm-hmm. You're based in London, just Liverpool Street. Stunning offices, and we're here now. Mm-hmm. What's your plan then, if you're looking at the sector trends at the minute, and mm-hmm. you know, the outlook is cautiously optimistic, mm-hmm. I'd say. Mm-hmm. Where does that take Venetrix? Not just this year, but kind of mm-hmm. the plan going forward.
Mm-hmm. So we've got some really exciting plans into the future. So we have focused on placing people only in London, because in the post-COVID boom, where we had a real uplift in requirements from clients and therefore revenue, there was so much business for us to do in London that it made sense for us to really kind of double down and focus our attentions here. Mm-hmm. I now see the opportunity for us to double the team focused on London. So our first growth step is to immediately do that. And we're in the process of doing that now. We've got some really strong candidates in the interview process. I feel really excited about being able to achieve that by the end of the year. We're also then looking to recruit outside of London for SDR positions in SaaS companies, because there's been some real growth in other hubs across the UK that at the moment we're not getting the opportunity to work with. So I think that's our next step. So if you think about Manchester, yes. Ireland as well, I'm talking about Dublin, there's companies in Bristol, there's companies in Newcastle. So we're then going to develop a team that's similar to the one that we've got now, that's going to be focused on the rest of the UK.
But it sounds like you've got a great like site map of your business, assessment days and all the marketing and branding to literally pick it up, cut, copy, paste, drop it down and evolve. Would you say that's the strategy for that?
It's a very scalable model.
Yeah.
Once we have got the blueprint, then yes, I'm hoping to create it in other geographies.
Yeah.
But we don't want to stop there. And don't worry, we are going to go international. So there's certainly a hunger for this service across Europe. Okay. From many of our current clients ask us constantly, can you place SDRs in Berlin, in Paris, in the Nordic countries? So our next step from having expanded and taken over the UK and Ireland is going to be looking at some European placements that we're going to be doing. And there's definitely a hunger for what we do as well in the US. We know this because we've actually been to the US and delivered one-off projects there before.
Yeah.
So in New York and in Boston, where we have actually recruited SDRs for SaaS businesses based out there. So we know that that's a future opportunity for us as well. So if you are interested in working in SaaS recruitment and you are based across Europe or in New York, then definitely drop me a message.
It sounds like there's a lot of opportunity and there's no holidays for you coming up this year.
Well, I'll be taking working holidays.
You work, yeah. And we see that on LinkedIn, actually, I think, when you do eventually get a break. What was your experience, you know, of all the success and your huge growth strategy plans for this year and obviously ongoing? To people listening who think, do you know what, I agree with you, I'm learning the sector, I know the sector, not have to jump in or either, you know, take the opportunities and kind of work with Venetrix or set up on their own. Mm-hmm. What would be your kind of learned lessons when you started 7 years ago to somebody going, do you know what, maybe that's me, you know, at 22-year-olds or even at that 30-year-old stage and go, do you know what, actually, maybe this is me and, you know, I'll do it on my own. What would your advice be to them?
Mm-hmm. So, first of all, start with a real clear vision.
Yep.
If you can't explain what your company does, what it feels like, what it looks like, why it exists, who it serves, to the equivalent of your nan, then you haven't defined it in simple language that's accessible to everybody, even including you, to show that you understand it at a granular level. And I think that once you have that, that can then act as your North Star and guidance for any decision making that you have to undertake in the setting up or growth of your business. So being very, very clear on that is key. Second really key advice is if you're looking to grow your business and you want to expand, you're going to hire people to join you. What joining your business means for them, because ultimately, if you can really understand those 3 points about talent attraction, then you're going to be able to hire the best people.
Yeah.
And in a recruitment business, it's the best people that fuel the growth. So there is no corner cutting there. You must hire the best if you want to be the best.
Did you ever think, if you hadn't met James Khan at that event, by chance, by fate, would you have set up on your own anyway?
Well, I think that you are born an entrepreneur, and I think that I would have become a business leader, yes, and like founded a company, yeah.
How much have you lent then on, so obviously you've joined up with Recruitment Entrepreneur and partnered with them, and mm-hmm. Venatrix is independent, you run your strategy mm-hmm. and your decision making, you know, which is led by you, about being, you know, going back to being that leader, that entrepreneur, you know, those ideas do obviously come from yourself and implemented through the team. How much and what importance would you put on kind of mm-hmm. that partnership, and how many times you picked that phone and gone, I've got an idea, mm-hmm. I just need a second opinion?
Well, that probably once a week. I'm pretty sure I've phoned you a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I really have enjoyed the Recruitment Entrepreneur Partnership, and I think that it represents a real opportunity to be standalone and independent, completely in control of what you do, which I am. I am the key decision maker in what happens yeah. in Venatrix, and I've never had a situation where I've been told no, or that I can't pursue something, or I can't carry out an idea. Yeah. Everything I've suggested has always been like fully supported, discussed, and you know, I definitely feel like I am the agent of destiny of Venatrix, yeah. without doubt. But at the same time, I've also got inspiration, camaraderie, help, support, guidance, access to best practice, opportunity to have a peephole into other people's businesses that are doing really well and yeah. understand how yeah. they've done it. So I think that one of the things that Recruitment Entrepreneur Partnership has really helped me do is remain very buoyant, proactive, and moving forward with the journey of Venatrix, because I've never been in a hole. I've been in difficult situations,
yes.
things that have been tough, managing a business through COVID, you know, months that have maybe not gone as the way you wanted it to be. Where you wanted it to go, situations where maybe I felt like a bit down a cul-de-sac and like, what do I do next? But I've never been in a hole, because I've always been able to turn to somebody and say, right, okay, now what do we do? Or how do we manage this through COVID? And yeah. all of a sudden, all the support's there, and ultimately, by that teamwork, get the answers.
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously with the team at Recruitment Entrepreneur, there's a lot of years of experience in different sectors, you know, not just in SaaS, but running businesses, not just recruitment. So I think, you know, a lot of heads and a lot of ideas, and I think the overarching point is it is just that, it's support, it's ideas, it's guidance, and it's, you know, and I think that's the way kind of most leaders should look at it, is just because you're the leader doesn't mean you have the right answer. And I guess being able to pull that knowledge from other industry leaders, and again, like you touched on it there, you know, with over 35, I think other CEOs kind of having a peep into their business, because the likelihood is, even though a lot of our businesses are different sectors, they go through the same, whether it's growing pains or down months and things mm-hmm. like that. So having them as a sounding board must be kind of reassuring as well. It's not just me on my own doing this.
Yes. And just the other day, I put the call out. Hey, CEOs, I've got a certain person of a certain seniority joining my business next week. Who's done this before? What have you done in that type of induction process? Emails back, information back, digest. And then, you know, alter that to make it suitable for Venatrix and take inspiration from the resources shared.
Fantastic. So this year looks busy, positive. Mm-hmm. The market's looking cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. You're hiring probably quite heavily over mm-hmm. the next 12 to 18 months.
Indeed.
UK, Europe mm-hmm. and the USA.
Yes.
Anything else that you're not doing? Just that to pass the time.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, it definitely keeps me busy. I think the thing that takes up most of my time is definitely the talent attraction. Because as I mentioned to you before, if you want to be the best, you've got to hire the best.
Yeah, invest in talent.
Yeah, you've got to invest in talent. And ultimately, we've built such a strong team here. You know, not to deny, it's very tough now. But luckily, when I look around to my left and my right, I'm very, very happy with the people that I've got to in the trenches with me.
Yes.
Doing the work to make sure that we, you know, manage to maintain the high levels of performance that we have so far. So I just want to add to that with more great people.
Fantastic. Elaine, really appreciate your time. I think that was super insightful for everyone who is listening. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.